This is the letter answering department survey of letters. The letter before us is abortion. What does the Bible say about abortion? And I'm thinking that this particular letter was written in response to a letter that we had received, and apparently somebody had given us something to look at, a tract of some kind on abortion, and wanted to know what the Bible said. So here we go. What does the Bible say about abortion? One can believe the Bible is the Word of God, one cannot believe the Bible is the Word of God and be for abortion on demand. The two are simply incompatible. This tract is not a treatise on American jurisprudence. Certainly in America, one is free to express his views. The sanctity of human life is clearly a dynamic underlying principle of the Bible. Biblical recognition of human life from conception is beyond any reasonable doubt. American coinage still says, one nation under God. Are we? If so, we must oppose abortion on demand. God does. This is not an issue of church and state. No Christian would want ecclesiastical rule of our government. God has ordained three great institutions. One, the home, Genesis 1:26. The church, Matthew 16:18, and civil government, Romans 13. All of these institutions should respect God's authority directly from the Bible. Clearly, this isn't being done. When persecuting war criminals during the Nuremberg trials, Robert Jackson was in a real dilemma. On what basis would the Nazis be prosecuted? German national law? Hardly, given the grotesque policies of Hitler, Himmler, and the like. International law? Hardly. International law is just a summation of all the national laws and often conflicts. Robert Jackson said there was a higher law than Germany, the United States, and all the nations were subject to, the law of God. This was the only means of finding these horrible criminals guilty. Once again, America needs to return to this higher law. The Bible teaches sanctity of life. God is pro-life. Under the heading of baby Jesus, praise God, Mary was pro-life and not pro-abortion. Given our country's exceeding liberal abortion laws through the ninth month, she could have aborted him. By the way, the child in the womb is called a fetus to dehumanize the baby because of residence in the womb and age anytime prior to birth. The Bible recognizes children in the womb and outside the womb as viable human beings. The word for baby in the Greek word is briphos. Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptizer, was visited by Mary. The Bible says the baby, briphos, leaped in her womb, Luke 1:41. The Bible uses the same word, briphos, to describe the Christ child outside the womb, Luke 2:12. Biblically, if baby Jesus is a viable human being outside of the womb, John was while inside Elizabeth's womb. If baby John was not viable inside Elizabeth's womb, neither was Christ outside of Mary's womb, because the same word is used. Obviously, the Bible is teaching neither was a mere fetus, but a child, a full member of the human community. The destruction of either would have been murder, Matthew 2:13 through 20. Life in the womb. Many scriptures could be given to show that the Bible teaches life is in the womb because of our limited space here. Here are just three scriptures to show that. Psalms 139 and verse 13. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. Isaiah 44 and verse 2, thus saith Jehovah that made thee and formed thee from the womb, who will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Isaiah 49, 5, and now saith Jehovah that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, and that Israel be gathered unto him. So biblically, life is in the womb. Destruction of life in the womb is murder. That's the subheading. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit child depart from her, born prematurely, and yet no mischief follow, child does not die and is not injured, he shall be surely punished according to the woman's husband, as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. If any mischief follow, injury or death of the child, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Exodus 21, 22 through 25. If this child in the womb dies, the man that killed the child is to die. This hardly seems justice if the child is a mere blob or fetus. In fact, any injury given the child is to him retributed on the criminal. God says the injuring any innocent baby in the womb is a criminal, sinful act before him. Conclusion: if you believe the Bible is the word of God, you cannot be pro-choice, actually pro-death. To be consistent, you must reject the Bible in order to support abortion on demand. The guy that was getting the response of this letter, getting this letter as a response, we were telling him that to be pro-abortion or to support abortion on demand, he would have to reject the Bible. The Nazis decided they would determine who was human and who was not. Their quality of life ethic allowed them to rationalize that Jews and Slavics lacked the sufficient quality of life to be considered human. Our country is decriminalizing against children because a place of residence, the womb, and age, any time prior to death. They are dehumanized by the term fetus and destroyed by the millions. The same God that gave the higher law by which the Germans were prosecuted at Nuremberg says life is in the womb. God is pro-life. Are you? End quote from that set of a text there that we took. Key scriptures concerning abortion. The Christian's concern with abortion is threefold: concern for the baby, the mother, and our society. The fact that the word abortion does not appear in the Bible does not mean God is silent on the subject. Rather, one must probe the scripture in deeper and broader context to discern his will regarding the matter. One doesn't find heroin mentioned either. But it is not difficult for Christians to decide that its use is wrong. The basic question must be answered, is whether God deems the unborn to be a person. If the answer is no, then perhaps we have the right to dispose of the fetus as an unwanted appendix or tumor. If the answer is yes, then we must treat the unborn with all of the love and concern due one another person that God requires of us as Christians. God knew David as a person before he was born, as related in Psalms 139, 13 through 15. You did form my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You knew me right well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, human life begins at conception. For the psalmist David uses the personal pronoun me in the above. More directly, God speaks to Jeremiah, showing the child in the womb is a person. Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. The entity in the womb is a baby. Luke 1, 41 through 44. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted me that the mother of my Lord would come unto me? For behold, before the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. The Greek word for babe, bripos, is used in the Greek scriptures to denote a baby in Luke 2, 12, and 16. An infant in Luke 18:15, and a child in 2 Timothy 3:5. In those passages, we see no distinction was made between born and unborn children. The following concerns John the Baptist in Luke 1:15. He was filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. So if that thing in the womb is just a blob, what is God doing giving it the Holy Spirit? God knows the personalities of the unborn, as in Genesis 25:23, two nations are in thy womb, Jacob and Esau, and two manner of people. And Paul writes in Galatians 1:15, but when he who has set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace. In these passages, God is dealing with the unborn. One he consecrates, another he sets apart for service, a third he fills with the Holy Spirit. Clearly, in these instances, the unborn is a person. Lest there be any reservation that these may be special cases, consider the most unique person of all, our Savior Jesus Christ. Unique as he was, the scriptures tell us that in his human nature, he was to be like us in every way. Hebrews 2:17, therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Now, be aware that there are a number of sites on the internet that use the Bible to support abortion. Since there is not a thus saith the Lord on the Bible, one must look at the inference of the scriptures. Problem with that is that most people infer anything they want if they can make it sound good. It becomes a matter of personal conscience and faith. That is why it is such a volatile subject. And then I give a good address on the internet to go to that handles a lot of these types of questions, a lot of these type retorts from the pro-abortionist, and you'll see the link in that letter. And I went and checked it out just yesterday, and it is still there, and it is very good in the way it handles the subject.